Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for those in attendance, Lord, as we read your word today. Let it add more to our spirit. As we read your word today, let it show us the way. As we read your word, no greater thing can we do in this church than read your word. Nothing more needs to be added. Let me repeat that. Nothing more needs to be added as we read your word together in this church today. Let it raise spirits up. Let it open awareness. Let it make them hunger for more, because this church is about you, Lord, and this church is about Jesus. And we have an opportunity in this church to do things that other churches do not have. We have the freedom in this church to do things that they don't have in other churches. We have the ability to see God move in this church that other churches do not have. We need to take advantage of that. We need to reach higher, and we need to call God down and reach him in here so that the spirit in this church will be so strong that the people outside will have to see it. We'll have to see it. So I pray that you get that peace and joy this morning. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Psalm number 22 in your book. Let's sing together. Lord. Somebody says, I want more from God. I say, oh, good. Are you doing everything he's asked you up to this point? Say, I don't know. Are you getting on your knees and praying much? Well, not really. Okay. So you haven't done it. Are you standing up and praising? Well, no, I haven't done that yet. But you want more. You want something else because God has already told us what to do. Amen. Told us to lift each other up. Let the Spirit of God be in this church. I believe that we can fill this church with the Spirit of God so strong that it makes you move. Amen. But I can't do it alone. Amen. I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't do it alone. We were at a nursing home last week. In a nursing home. I'll repeat that. Can I repeat that? In a nursing home. Wheelchairs and people. And we started singing, do Lord, I saw the light. And these ladies started dancing around. And the Spirit started rising. They started saying, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. People stood up out of their wheelchairs. They weren't walking. I'm not telling you. But they stood up. People said, they had to go run after other people who weren't supposed to be walking and catch on to them. You know why? Because they simply received what the song was saying. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you're saying, I can't do that, then God is saying, well, you got to do that. Amen. Because your praising frees you. Imagine that. You're still in bondage. You need to be free.
Yeah, y'all are going to be praising today at the Super Bowl game.
Oh, that's right. Let me cheer. Let's do that one more time. being in this room. I love the things that we're doing in this room. I love what God is doing in this room. I love the opportunity that God has given each and every one of us to do something great in this room. Understand that some churches are closing. Some churches are joining other churches. Even that beautiful church up the river, St. Jude's, is now joining St. Mary's. Some churches have two or three churches. One church we saw has three churches. They have 1 hour services. You get in, you get out. This church is not like that. This church is about God, about what you can do for God, what we can do for God as we heal each other. I believe that God's word heals us. I believe that there's healing in that word. I believe there's power in that word far beyond those of mortal man. I believe that. I believe that when you read the word of God, even if you read the same page every day, God will show you something different because he has more for you. But I believe that you have to open up. You have to do something. You have to do more than let him in. You have to really get out of your comfort zones and get out of what you think and allow God to be the miracle worker. Because in your mind, maybe your mind, you don't believe in miracles. Maybe you're having a problem. But God believes you because he said so. So you get out of your mind and let God do things in your life, then you'll say that was impossible to do. And then you will not stop talking about it. When you praise him, when you do what the word of God tells you to do, it changes you. And that's the only person we're talking to. We're talking to each and every one of us today. I love this church. I love what it stands for. I love what it's doing. I know we're in a little circle. I know winter has come and February has come. I know Kim and Gary are dealing with the flu. I know George and Pat are dealing with some health issues. I know Gladys is dealing with some health issues. But this is the time of year when we can get close because things are going to start sprouting, just like spring is going to be sprouting right here at Second Congregational. And you need to be a part of it, but you need to get your hands dirty and really get it because it will change your life as you're changing everybody else's life and guess who else's life? My life, too. You'll let me see the vision that I have. I love this church. I do. And I love you all. And I know you love me, too. I do. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done that was worth even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown? This afternoon during a football game, I want to tell you something. you might not know, they won't be able to hear you. Brady's not going to hear you. The Eagles aren't going to hear you. But when you talk to God and you praise Him and you pray to Him, He hears you. If that isn't enough to move you, I don't know what is. Maestro, bring us into church this morning.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated and enjoy yourself today. Psalm 86. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy.
Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God.
Yes, you are. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long.
Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication.
In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me.
Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your work.
All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name.
For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Unite my heart to fear your name.
Hallelujah. Fear, not afraid, but reverence. Hallelujah. To love God with all your heart, to have the reverence, to have that in your spirit where you just have to have more of God. That's when mountains are moved. That's when mountains get moved, Jim. When you really let him, when you really open up your spirit. I've spoken before about that time that I was alone, and I felt like my spirit was consumed with God. I felt like he was all around me, and I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe, but I wasn't in pain. I was in a place of so amazing spiritual bliss, and it's only happened once, and I try to do it again, but you can't try to do it. You got to really open up yourself to. And there's somebody in this church who's really trying, and I really believe that he's going to someday reach that, because he's searching. He's searching for God in ways that make my heart happy when he talks to me about God, when he talks to me about the Bible, when he talks to me about talking to other people. And he's faithful. A pastor can ask one thing of his people: to be faithful. To be faithful to a pastor is the greatest gift of all. I have this plaque that you gave me a couple of weeks ago. This is the most wonderful gift that you have given me since I've been here, when it talks about what I've done and my words touching you. That's what I live for. That's what I yearn for, to touch you every day, to make you think about something I said, even if you thought you knew it, making something happen where you think about it again, because I want your life to be blessed. I want this church to be blessed. I believe in this church. I think we're in a blessed place here, and a place that we've got so much opportunity to grow and to do many great things for God. When if you go to another church and there's already 300 people, you don't have any opportunity. You can join, you can be a part of it, but you don't have the opportunity that we have to become elders, to become deacons, to become ministers, to become reverends. You say, well, maybe that's not my calling. But it is your calling to tell other people about God, because that's what it says in this book. We need to tell other people. Sergio, would you stand up, please? I believe we're looking at a future pastor. I believe we're looking at somebody who's going to draw people to Christ. I believe we're looking at somebody. And not because of his Bible knowledge, Jeff, you don't understand. Not because he knows a lot about the Bible. Because that's not the first thing, knowing a lot about the Bible. The first thing is to be hungry. Hungry for God. Is there a doctor in the house? To be hungry for God. And you're hungry. Each week we talk, I can hear the hunger. I can see the joy. I know you got friends who don't believe in you, right? I know you got family who don't understand. And you know what you're saying to God? I love you more. I know that if you find God the way you want to, it'll bless them. And you see that. That's why today I want to raise him up to a deacon. I want you all to meet Deacon Sergio. And it's not a tower, it's not a name of power, it's not a name of authority, it's a name of recognition. When you come in and you see Deacon Bill, and I hope you all say hi to Deacon Bill back there. Deacon Bill, we love you, but I say, that's Deacon Bill. Because what he's done for this church, without Bill and Chuck and David and Marilyn, thank you David, you're going to be in the sermon later, I'll catch up to you later. Without those people, none of us would be here today. They're the pillars of the church. And that's why I know that we're in the right place. Because we have people who simply believe God. They don't see circumstances, they see God. And I know we're in a season right now, January, February, where it seems lighter. We have fewer people than we normally have. And we were praying this morning for the whole body of our body to be back. Pat and for Gladys and everybody. And I know that's going to happen. But I know that very shortly, we're going to be having Bible studies. Very shortly, in just a few couple of weeks, we're going to be doing Bible studies where we get to the meat and the potatoes. We start digging into these scriptures that mean a lot to you. We start getting into the Bible, getting into the Old Testament, and things that you can realize for yourself. And we're going to have meet and greets. And what we call them is simply this. We're going to have a night during the week where we have some, maybe whatever we serve, but you bring people who have never been to church or people who haven't been to church in a long time. Say, come and meet everybody. We're just going to have some pizza, some Coca-Cola. And then they get to meet you. They get to meet Dale. They get to meet George and Elaine. And then they say on Sunday, you know what? I can go there now because I know some people. I won't be a stranger. How many people you realize they don't go to church because they don't want to be a stranger? So these are things we're doing. And we want to have the children's ministry. We want to build it up so we have a place downstairs so that people can bring their children and know they're being safe downstairs and being kept while they're here in church. And we want to have personal meetings. David said he wanted to set up a place where I can meet everybody, one person at a time, and talk with you and counsel you. We've been trying to do that. I've been trying to do that since we talked about it. You got to come to me. Please don't let things happen so much that all of a sudden you're gone. And I don't know why. I didn't have a chance to talk. I didn't have a chance to change. Maybe there was something I needed to do to change. And I'm humble enough to realize that. Somebody said one time, why don't you wear black? I said, amen, I'll do it. Whatever it takes to make the church stronger. But you got to come to me. As we grow together, you got to come to me and tell me, you know what, I'm not happy with this. And I don't want to hear that you're not happy with somebody, your brothers or sisters. You got to deal with that. Amen. Because you can't be fighting with each other. You got to love one another. Doesn't mean you have to go out to dinner, although we all do. Isn't that amazing? We all go out to dinner after church. So Sergio, today, it's not with power that we give you or authority we give you. We give you recognition today. And the church recognizes you're faithful. A pastor can ask for no more from his people than to be faithful. So when other people come, when new people come or families come and visit, next week the Boy Scouts are going to be here. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited. We're going to say, Deacon Sergio, and they're all going to say, oh, he's a deacon. Set you apart with God, not at the church. But people say, Deacon Sergio, and they realize, ooh, he's something in the ministry. Not more important, right, Chuck? I mean, we're not more important. I'm not more important. But it separates you. So when other people see that things are happening in this church. So once again, can we give him some praise this morning and thank you. Thank him for his faithfulness. But let me read this from the Bible. May I? It says this, praise God in his sanctuary. What does it say?
God is sanctuary.
In his sanctuary. Who said that? Not me. The book. Praise him in his mighty firmament. That means praise him in the world. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. We can all do that. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the tremble and dance. Praise him with dance. Imagine that. What the book is telling us to do. Not your pastor, not your Looney Tune pastor, but the Bible is. Are you doing it? If you're not doing it, you can't want more until you do what he's asked you to do first. If somebody put a meal out in front of you and had everything you wanted and you started eating, you look at the cook and said, can I have some more? He'd look at you like you're crazy. What do you mean more? You haven't even eaten what you're not doing what I fed you with. God is telling us this. Praise him with the tremble and dance. Praise him with string instruments and flutes, Greg Chassie. Praise him. Praise him with loud cymbals. What kind of cymbals?
Wow.
Praise him with clashing cymbals. This is the best one right here. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lisa. What about that? Is it the message or the messenger? Somebody says, I want more. Well, there's a lot to do already. We have a lot to do in this church. You have opportunities in this church, I'll say it again, that are far beyond any opportunities you'll have if you go to a church with 300 people. You have a chance to make fellowship. You have a chance to be together as a family and to grow in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, I told you I found this book by this pastor, T.D. Jakes. Anybody ever hear of this man? He's a pastor. Let me tell you, he's worth seven figures. His church, seven figures. You can't go to his church without bringing your Bible. You can't walk into his church without wearing a suit and tie. Your kids have to sit to your left and to your right when you go to this man's church. He's a powerful man of Christ. And I bought this book at Walmart. I found God at Walmart. I know, isn't that crazy? I'm telling you what. And this book is feeding me, and I'm only on to page 47. I've had it a month now because I don't want to get ahead of what he's telling me. I got a lot of marks in it, Lisa. I got lines in it. I've got words in it. I've got things circled and yellow, so when I go back, I find it. Listen, he said it can be frightening to your own authentic self. What if other people don't approve of the authentic you? Imagine that. What if they criticize or make fun of who you really are? That's a painful prospect to consider, especially when disapproval or criticism comes from the people who mean the most to you. Are you prepared to brave the negative reactions, comments, criticisms, and complaints that may arise from owning your authentic self? Can you handle it? Some people can't. They live without expressing the authenticity of what abides deep within them because the approval of others is more important to them than self-approval. That touched me. He said this, at moments that I felt the least adept, I have known there is a force beneath my wings for which I could take no credit. Let me read that again because this touched me. At moments that I felt least adept, I have known that there was force beneath my wings which I could not take no credit. There was a perfect timing that I could not explain. There was a person I could not have schemed to meet. There was an opportunity I could never have orchestrated on my own. You can say that I'm actually here because my older brother died. My brother Johnny passed away. A tragedy in my life. We all lose people. When it's in your life, it's like when your brother passed. It was just, you just can't replace that. But I found this church. I found this spot right here through that tragedy when my brother Johnny died. And let me tell you why. Because I refused that day to let anybody else speak at my brother's memorial. I refused to have somebody come in that didn't know him, stand there, read a few words from the Bible, say thank you, goodbye. So I put things together. My brother Peter sat to my left, and his wife Sharon sat to my left. As I stood up, they had no idea what I was going to say. They had no idea my inklings in my church. I've been in a church 15 years. They didn't know that in that way. And I started to preach about my brother, and I started to preach about God, and I started to preach at the memorial. And I kept preaching about him. And my heart was full. And after that service, somebody walked up to me and said, if there was ever an opportunity for you to be at my church, would you consider it? And I said, absolutely consider it. And it wasn't just a few weeks later that the church that I'd spent 15 years in said, we're moving to Texas. We want you to come. And I said, nope. I have an opportunity. And my brother's passing away. I could never have put that together. I could never have thought of losing my brother to gain God. But that's really what happened, and it was that man back there, his fault. So if you're all not enjoying me, it's Dave right there's fault, because he was the one that walked up to me that day and said, Larry, would you be interested? At the time, thank you, Dave. At the time of my lowest heart, he gave me something so great. That's God healing me. But the tragedy that was my brother, I could not have foreseen, would lead me to my heart's desire. Amen? So you understand when I read that what it meant. As I felt so sad, I didn't know there was a fourth beneath my wings for which I could not take no credit. Thank you, Lord. He said, you will fight defensively against circumstances that can discourage or defeat you. And this is for all of us. As I read this, put this in your life. You may duke it out with situations that threaten to bring you down. But if you are determined, you will not be defeated. It's not easy living your life aimed at destiny. I've had to do some fighting, he said. This man is worth seven figures today. Seven figures. Amen. Means he makes more than $1 million a year. You may duke it out with such, but if you are determined, you will not be defeated. It is not easy living your life aimed at destiny. I had to do some fighting, he said. I fought my way against the odds. I fought to get a work despite hindrances like not having gas money or having a broken down vehicle. I fought to keep standing up when life tried to bring me down. I fought to love and be loved. I fought to get out of bed in the morning some days when it seemed like I couldn't endure my present circumstances. I fought to live when circumstances predicted I should die. I fought my doubts and my fears. I fought my insecurities. I fought haters and instigators, liars and betrayers. I fought with my family. Amen. There have been even times when I lay in bed, unable to sleep because I was fighting with myself. I fought a good fight. You engage in a good fight when you must beat the odds because you're determined to live in destiny. Hallelujah. Skip that one. So many marks in this book already. It's so funny. You can find it. Thank you, Lord. He said, at times I prayed for God to design the course my way. In other words, he prayed to God that God would do what he wanted his way. Amen. You understand what he's saying? This didn't happen, and I'm glad. I've learned that God isn't just making this up as the Spirit goes. The Lord ordered my steps. Sometimes I was impatient and prayed that God abort the process. Other times I prayed God would speed things up, put my life on fast forward. I prayed to get out of things God wanted me to stay in. God knew I needed the experience of the process. I prayed that I wouldn't have to endure some things the Lord has let me endure. Wisdom allowed endurance to mold me. When I tried to rush the process, God slowed me down as if saying, no, you skipped that step. Go back. Every time I saw a destination, God saw me and ordered my circumstances to ready me for where I was trying to go. Hallelujah. And this is the last one. This man with his ministry. I spent years pastoring a church with little growth. I often wondered if I had what it took to reach a broader audience. I didn't understand that while I was trying to build a church, God was trying to build a man. The only way to build a man was to put him in an environment that exercised his faith muscles and built up his experience. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to handle success. I love this church. I believe we're on the right steps. My vision is for you to become pastors and deacons and elders and praying for people. For you to become strong in your life so that you can do what you thought was impossible. Call that family member you haven't talked to in a while. Do things that you didn't think were possible because God said yes, things are all possible. How many things are possible?
All.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew. God is giving us all the blessing of building a house for Him. The responsibility, opening up doors while others close. God's word is enough. If we follow it, He is waiting for us to use it. I'm going to read out of the Bible now, so I want you to stay with me. I'm reading in Exodus 18:13. I'm starting it. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. How long?
Morning till evening.
All day long. It's a great song. I should write it. Nobody would buy it. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me and I judge between one and the other. I make known the statutes of God and His laws." So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good." Is what? Not good. "Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice and I will give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show the ways in which they must walk, and work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace." So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law, did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of ten. So they judged the people at all times, the hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. It's the hardest thing for anybody to do. I'm the pastor of the sheep, to give out some of that, to let somebody have some of my sheep, to rule over them is the hardest thing to do. Moses told you had to do it. You had to let other people, tend to the sheep. You had to let other people talk to the sheep. You had to let other people teach the sheep because it was too much for Moses. But let me tell you, it's the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do to say to somebody, "Take some of my people and teach them." You have to know that the doctrine is right. You have to know that their faith is strong. You have to know they're grounded on a rock. Amen? You have to understand that they understand with you. They believe that vision. It's the hardest thing for a pastor to do than to give out authority to somebody else to be over the sheep. It takes strength, for other people to have this. My vision is strong. I see the vision of the church. I believe in the church. I need people who believe with me. That's why I need you to be strong in the Lord. That's why I preach every week about the same thing, about getting you stronger with God. So when I can look at you and say, Elaine, I want you to preach to the women tonight. And you say, okay, I can do that. Or if I say, Art, I want you to preach to the men tonight. You say, okay, I can do that. That's what I need. That's what every church needs. That is one reason why I asked Sergio if he would be a deacon, because his faithfulness speaks volumes to me. I can trust Sergio to do if I ask him, because I know he's faithful. But understand how hard that is for somebody who wants to. I want to do it all. I'm going to need help. And David is in charge of a club, an archery club. And well, he's not the president anymore, but he's basically in charge of it. And he can tell you how much is needed. If they have a shoot, they need other people to run the shoot. One person can't run the shoot. If they have another meeting, if they're going to have a potluck, they're going to have the game dinner. They need other people to run it. They need people to cook. They need people who are going to take care of it and not say, how do I do it? What do I do? They just take it and they run with it. Amen? That's what the church is going to need. That's what we're going to need. Because T.D. Jakes even said, when people go to his church and they say, well, at my church, we might have a testimony pop up or a song pop up. And he said, in my church, we can't do that because we got so many that we have to be in order. We have to be so strong and we have to be in order, which takes people. It takes people. It takes greeters. It takes meters. It takes prayers. It takes Nancy and Mary to pray for people. I can't pray for everybody. That's why you go to the elders of the church for prayer. You go to the deacons of the church for some help, maybe some information. And then you come to the pastor. Let me say that again. You come to me when things are so in your heart and spirit, say you feel wrong, so we can talk about it, so that we can continue the journey together. Amen? You don't all of a sudden one day find that you're not here. What happened? Oh, we were discouraged. Well, you didn't talk to me. We weren't in decency and order. And then say, I want more from God. Well, how much more can we have right here? You can be great in this church, Sergio. Anybody who comes to this church can be so great. And I'm so excited. And I know, again, I'll say it again, I know the numbers are down right now, but it's just winter time. And I know we're a little older than some of our folks, and some of them have children. Jen and Roy aren't here today. They got two children. It's cold outside. Probably Roy's probably home getting ready for the Super Bowl, to be honest with you. But that's the truth. When I read this in Exodus, I realized you gotta have help, but the help has to be faithful. And it doesn't mean we don't have disagreements. The Bible talks about that all the time. But it says, do not even let the seed get in there. Don't let it fester. Don't anything, because that's when trouble happens. When you let the seed fester of disagreement or disillusionment or whatever, discouragement, whatever, if you let that grow, it's going to grow into a plant that nobody can pull out. And that's why we need to be together and see that same vision. I'm believing for great things for you, not for me. I believe for great things for me, but I have needs just like you do. And if you're stronger, I'm stronger. And if I'm stronger, you're stronger. And I got that from 40 pages in this book that I read. I have more hope and vision today because of this man. I don't want, there was a pastor, I don't know if anybody saw it, Jeff, you might saw it, he was on TV, I don't want to mention his name, he's a great guy, I love listening to him, but a few months back he prayed for an airplane, and I think it got him in trouble. He prayed that the church would give him enough money that he can buy a brand new jet, so that he can fly around all over the world and preach and minister to people in other countries and stuff, and I'm saying, well, did God call you to do that? But, you know, because I can't find anything about a jet in here. I can't find anything about me praying for a new car. It says he will meet my needs. Not what I think I need. He will meet my needs. And I think that pastor got himself a little backwards for a second. And I think it caused him a little anguish when people realized, wait a minute. You want us to send you money to buy an airplane so you can go other places and preach? This is where we're going to preach, right here. I'm your pastor. You're the flock. You're my people, but I can't do it without you. And I want you to feel like you can rise up and be anything that God has for you. Amen. Can I get an amen? Thank you for that amen. There you go. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read one more thing, and then we're going to... You're going to sing one day at a time? Okay. Thank you, Lord. I love this book. For this reason, I'm reading from Ephesians 3:14. Let me read it to you. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't tried that, try that. It's between you and God, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And Paul is saying, I bow my knees for you, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Now what man is that? The inner man. Not the inner man. You want to be strong. To be strengthened with the might through his spirit, through God's spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height of his love, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what I pray each week for you. Now to him, and him being God, who is able to exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Let me read those two words again, because this is for you as much as it is for me. I believe it. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. How many? Forever and ever. Amen and amen. So I pray, receive that today. Receive how important you are. Receive what you have. Receive the potential that you have. Receive the opportunities that God has given us in this church. For whatever reason you're here today, God brought you here today. You have opportunities to grow. You have opportunities to serve. Opportunities to be greater. And as you serve God, it will serve you. And as you serve the Lord and talk about the Lord, it will serve you and your family. As you grow in spirit, even in times of trials, your family will say how. As you grow in spirit and power in times of tribulation, your family will say how. And then they will say, I want what you have, because the world wants what you have. If you don't believe it, just think last Sunday at that restaurant. Those ladies walked in, we mentioned Jesus, and they just lit up. They're hungry. They're searching. They're searching for what we have. We need to feed the world, but we need to feed each other first. Let's be that family together today. Come to me. Come to me. Talk with me. Let's share our hopes and our visions together, because this church has potential for something so great that is beyond our vision, beyond what we think. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. One day at a time. Sometimes one step at a time.
Don't worry, Fred, I won't take it personal.
Pushing and shoving, crying.
Somebody asked me if I would wear black, and I said, of course I would, and I did, and it was good. I want to share something else with you, humble myself, and just share with you that two people who I love very, very much said to me just recently, Larry, you got to stop saying amen so much. And they were worried about telling me that. They were afraid how I was going to take it. And the second that they told me that, I realized that they were 100% right. And what they were sharing with me was love. They weren't criticizing my sermons or what I was saying. It was that it just got in the way. And I want you to understand that we all do that with one another, with love, understanding that if you just don't do that, it would be better. And I accepted that, and the second I did, I felt like better. I felt free in my spirit, and I just joked with Jim a second ago because I found myself. I did it once, and then I said, oops, I'm sorry. So that's what we do together. See, that's how we grow together. We grow together. It's not a criticism. That was something that helps everybody. But God's word heals people. Can I have another minute? Can I take another minute, please? I spoke at two funerals, two memorial services this year. Two. How many?
Two.
Didn't know anybody in there. One person, two people, the people who asked me to come. I walked in. They didn't know me from T.D. Jakes. They didn't know me from Joel Osteen. They just knew I came in there wearing black and I had a Bible. There was sadness because the daughter had passed away, because a husband had passed away, because a father had passed away. There was sadness. I walked in with my Bible and I walked in with the Word of God. And I preached to them the promises of God, the Word of God, the salvation of God, the joys of God, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. I read them things in the Bible that seemed like they never heard before. And they received it. They received it. I didn't heal anybody. I didn't heal anybody. The Word of God, the simplicity of the Word of God healed people at the services to where the mother of the daughter said, I need to speak. And she got up and she spoke for about 5 minutes, made people laugh. She saw it, and somebody else came up and said, I wasn't going to speak, but I feel like I want to speak now. And he got up and he said something, and another person got up, and family members started to get up because they were freed because of the Word of God. It heals. These people didn't know me. So they didn't judge me. They listened to the word that I preached, and I read from that Bible. I gave them food that fed them in a ways. They were still sad when I left. The losing was sad. The losing was painful. But I left them with a different spirit, a different thought. I left them with joy. One person, he did get up and say, I never expected to hear anything like that here today. And it was God's word that heals. Whatever we're going through, His word heals us. Even in times of the deepest trials, He heals and lifts us up. Losing my brother brought me here today. God will make ways if you will let Him. If you love Him and understand that no matter what I preach on Sunday, if I'm reading from His word, it is food for life. So give Him praise, church. Thank you.